On today's show, the last of our Houston Rockets 2022 exit interview episodes, Steven Silas's final media availability for the season, key takeaways from what he had to say in his final media session, as well as a big question heading into the Rockets offseason for Steven Silas, coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, also host of Locked On NBA Mondays, co-host of State of the Rockets, and founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Now, for today's episode, it is the final installment of our exit interview series this week, covering all of the exit interviews from the Houston Rockets, going through all the young players, and we are culminating here at the end with Steven Silas. We'll have key takeaways from his final media availability for the 2021-2022 Houston Rockets NBA season, as well as a big question for Steven Silas heading into the Rockets offseason. So let's go ahead and dive right in.
Going back to the training camp, when you first had these guys together, you said that you guys are going to keep things simple. Now going into year two of this rebuild, do you plan to expand on both of the floor?
Yeah, 100%. We're going to expand. We have tried some things a little bit later in the season. I think you've probably seen us pressing a little bit more, zoning a little bit more, trying to see some things, get some videotape on some things. And we're gonna expand our playbook offensively coming into the year as far as, and I told Alpi this and during our meeting today, like I didn't expect having a post player coming into the year, and doing a lot more study this summer will help with that. And then just knowing the strengths and weaknesses of our guys, we can really do some things, some creative things, but also some things that make sense for our group going into next year, now that the kind of base has been laid. And one of the main things that I wanted to do this season, especially after All-Star break, is improve our defense. And I didn't check after last night's game, it wasn't a great game, but we were 21st in defense after the All-Star break, which is a big jump from being 30th before, so proud of that.
This team, like everybody's under contract, change always happens anyway, but if the bulk of this team's back with two rookies, how do you get better? Do you expect to get better in terms of wins and losses anyway?
Yeah, I think just natural progression of guys understanding. We had a bunch of guys who never played in the NBA before, or guys who hadn't been in the starting role that they were in before, or playing new positions, and all the things. We really started at zero this year with a lot of guys, so getting to the point where we played an 82 game season with these guys, and their roles will be similar next year. Depending on if we have two new young guys or not, we'll still be starting at a much higher place than we were this season as far as understanding. And then to Kelly's point, not being so bland on both ends of the floor, because there'll be a much higher level of understanding when it comes to the young guys.
Do you expect reinforcements, or are you cool with running it? I hate to say running it back, but
I don't really know what to expect. I mean, you know, like you said, change is inevitable in this league, so I don't really know what to expect.
What about as far as your staff, Steven? Do you expect staff back as is, or?
I do. I expect everybody to be back, but like we were just talking about, change is inevitable in this league, and I have a talented staff that could maybe. One of them could be a head coach, or maybe one of them could move on and be go from third assistant to second assistant, mm-hmm. or second assistant to first assistant. And I was blessed in my career to be able to, you know, if there's an opportunity for me to move on and move up and get more years, get more money or whatever, that's a thing. And there were times where I wasn't allowed to do it, and there were times where I was allowed to do it. And growing assistant coaches is important, but also having some continuity is important too. So finding that fine line between mm-hmm. the two is very important.
Steven, I know that
some of the young players that you had this year, how much did you find yourself being not only coach, but being a friend, confidant, to talk to, maybe sometimes father figure?
A lot. It's just a fun group. I think everybody here probably has some memory or some story or some little quip that one of these young guys made you laugh or made you feel like a connection with them. And I had the joy of doing that every day. And we really have some really good people. And that's what I told the group last night, is it's very much about the people. So yeah, there were times where I butted heads with guys, which was necessary. There were times where we would have to go to dinner, just him and me, whoever him is. There were times where we'd have to hug it out, and there were times where we'd have to come to my office and we'd have to talk about it. But yeah, that's the job of the head coach. And like I said, maybe it was last night, I love this job. I love being the head coach of the Rockets, and I love this group, and I love the people that I work with. So yeah, those relationships are organic, and they come being a head coach. There's a level of you can't get too close because the accountability part, but I feel like I'm as close as I could possibly be while also having that hammer.
Steve, I know that every organization is different, and some have more patience than others. So what does it mean for you to have another opportunity to coach this team again?
It means a lot. I understand this business. I grew up in this business, and I am grateful to Rafael, and I'm grateful to the Tillman, to the Partitas, for giving me this opportunity first and foremost, and then letting me go on this journey, this ride that we're all on, as far as we got a young group of guys who are learning how to play, a group that's rebuilding, and it is moving in the right direction, and I'm glad to be on the ride with it.
Having had a year with Jalen, what can he be next year? What can he be in his career?
I mean, that's impossible to answer, but he can be a very good basketball player for sure. He will get stronger. He will get more experienced. He will get better than he was this year. So that adds up to being a very good basketball player.
What would it mean? Did you see him be first team all rookie?
I did not see that.
I said, no, what would it mean to see him be first team all rookie?
When he is, it will mean a lot, just like it was when JT was first team all rookie last season. It will mean a lot. It will mean that he is one of the top five guys in the NBA as far as rookies are concerned. It'll mean that all the hard work that he's put in when none of us are here, none of these cameras are here, none of the microphones or anything, when he's in here by himself getting work in, means it paid off. And the product that we've seen on the floor over the last, since All-Star break, really, I mean, there's no argument to me. Like, there really just isn't. So against him being first team all rookie. So I'll be super proud of him.
Coming up, the second half of Steven Silas's final media availability for the season. But first, a quick message from our friends over at BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting stats and info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, something that Houston Rockets fans should be very, very concerned about, who's going to be the first overall pick in this year's NBA draft. BetOnline has odds for that and so much more, but let's take a look at the odds for the first overall pick in this year's draft. Right now, they've got Jabari Smith Jr. at plus 110 to be the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft. Chet Holmgren coming in at plus 70 in spot number two, and then Paolo Banchero bringing it up in third place at plus 225. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's go ahead and wrap up Steven Silas's exit interview availability for this Rockets season.
You spoke about hearing from the guys that there's an understanding of the potential. Obviously, you guys have here with so much young talent. What's a challenge for you and them now to kind of just stay in this on this path, this moment, just to kind of keep improving at the pace that you want them to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the job of any organization, right? I think keeping the train moving in the right direction is the goal of every organization. So we're in a little bit of different spot because we have so many young guys, and we're pushing guys to learn a little bit quicker than maybe they would have to learn if they were having more vets on their team. But the way that it's structured, the way that it was structured this year, is they could go out there and play, learn, grow, fail, get back up, grow, learn, and that will continue with this group. There's a lot of talent and still a lot to learn. And like I said last night, if these young guys that we have and the whole group, if they're gonna have 10-year careers at the least, the lowest, this is just 1/10 of their career. So there's so much more ahead of them, and we can't get caught up in the today. The today has to be helping them for tomorrow and helping them grow for their whole career.
You spoke about your relationships with the players, head coach to player, how there's maybe a line that can't be crossed. How has this group of guys really helped you grow and find your identity as a head coach in this league?
That's a good question. They've been challenging at times, for sure, because, like, you know, when you're the head coach, you want it to be perfect, you know? So there have been times where I've had to really embrace the process of failure and then bouncing back from failure, or patience, knowing that the play didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to go, and hopefully it'll go better the next time. And that was probably the biggest, like, part of it that I had to grow and embrace, is the mistakes that are made sometimes. And they lessened as the season went along. And if I put too much pressure on them to play mistake-free, then it would not have ended the way that it did, as far as them improving individually as a group and us feeling in this media availability as we're on to something. You know, it could have been at the end of this like, whoa, this isn't very good, but the way that it kind of came together because of patience and because of conversations and because of hard practices and giving them some grace at times, it ended up where we are right now, which I think is a pretty good space.
Could you see yourself going through another year with that mentality? Could you see yourself doing another year, this organization doing another year with that mentality that you just described?
It would be unfair to me, to the players, to let them play through so many mistakes that they already know. Mm-hmm. If we went through this season and they learned a lot, then they can be held accountable to what they learned. But you have to allow them to learn it, right? And this season was about learning it. next season can be more about, you already know. You learned this already. You already know. So going through it next season will still require some patience for sure, but will be different when it comes to, like, no. Remember, we went through this whole season last year, and we put this base in, and we put this in, and we put that in, and you know it. And this summer is gonna be reinforcing it. So having all of these months of their learning curve going in the right direction, it would be a disservice to them to let them off the hook for stuff that they've already learned.
Can it be about wins and losses then, to some degree?
I think it can.
Hey, Steven, you talked about them being young and continuing to be young next year. How much would it mean, though, to have some veteran infusion into this team? I mean, you're going to still be young, but how much would that...
I'm not sure how much that matters. I'm not sure Eric Gordon is a really good vet and was an important part of our team this year and does everything the right way. And if you watch Eric Gordon play, and I told him this yesterday, when he plays, the group loves the way he plays because he'll go between his legs four times and then go and like Euro step and bump somebody off of him and finish. And the whole bench will be like jumping up. Or when Eric is guarding somebody in the post, and it's like, no, I don't need any help. It's like the players love it. So to say, yeah, we have a bunch of young guys, but we also have some vets like Eric Gordon, who is someone that these guys really look towards for leadership. So.
And that's it for Steven Silas. So coming up, key takeaways from what Steven Silas had to say in his final media availability session for this season, as well as a big question for Silas moving forward. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They're the number one protein bar on the market. So many incredible flavors to choose from: salted caramel, cookies and cream, raspberry, strawberry, mint brownie, peanut butter. Just the list goes on and on and on and on. My personal favorite is coconut brownie chunk, though. You can't go wrong with it. It's so good. Anyways, all the bars, they're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight. You can check them out. Just go to built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the absolutely best-tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, as we tackle our final exit interview of the season with head coach Steven Silas. Now, first place that I want to start with is, because as Steven Silas had a bunch of good commentary in this postgame, this is probably my favorite one to kind of, I had a feeling that my favorite ones were going to be Stone and Silas to kind of like pick apart and kind of take a lot of what they said and really try to dissect it and take some stuff away from it. But Silas especially, because he's very open with the media, right? He doesn't sugarcoat stuff. He's pretty transparent. And I think that the Rockets are kind of blessed in having gone from one head coach in Mike D'Antoni, who was very transparent about all of his goings-ons, to Steven Silas, who, again, very transparent with the media, and it makes for a great interview. It makes for asking great questions and getting great responses. So in this session, Silas started with the fact that he didn't expect to have a post player this season when talking about some of the things that he wanted to be able to do offensively, defensively, the schemes that he would run. You know, we knew that coming into the season, he was planning to use a very base level foundation for what he wanted to do. And maybe he stripped it down to be a bit too bare bones early on, but he's working with a bunch of rookies and sophomore players, right? Like, again, he had a ton of those guys on this roster, a ton of guys who had never played together, who didn't know NBA basketball, who were going to be shocked at the speed and pace of play, all of this. So he did what he thought was best, which was, you know, strip it down to almost nothing. And when asked about it, right, he didn't know that he was going to have Alperen Şengün, who is a very adept post player. Now maybe you're sitting there thinking, why didn't he know that, right? He had film on Şengün. Like, he saw what type of a player he was from Turkey, right? And it's like, I mean, yeah, but you don't know how that's going to translate to the NBA level. You don't expect him to be able to come in and, like, actually continue to do all of the things that he was already doing. Like, maybe there's some level of, like, okay, maybe he can get there one day. And Alpi came in and surprised everybody, surprised us as fans, right? Like, surprised everybody, media around the country were like, who is this kid? So I think it's safe to say that Steven Silas didn't expect to have a guy that he could, like, anchor the offense through and, like, run sets through as a post player. And that's not, you know, again, maybe that's something that they could have, like, experimented with and tinkered with a bit more throughout the season. But even then, now that he's got an offseason to really toy with it, play around with it, figure out, okay, what are the best ways that I can utilize Alpi as maybe, like, the fulcrum for the Rockets offense and really get, you know, creative, run some sets through him, utilizing him as a primary, you know, playmaker offensively and utilizing his strengths as a post player, all these different things, he's going to have the time to really work on that and figure some of those things out. I think we kind of underestimate how difficult it is to make, like, drastic changes mid-season and not, like, have, you know, and not have stuff just completely fall apart in the midst of a game, right? If you're trying to, you know, suddenly introduce brand new sets, brand new designs, brand new plays with zero to minimal practice time to actually get those things, you know, ironed in and baked in and working and stuff. So I'm excited for Steven Silas to have the opportunity this summer to do that. And based on what Rafael Stone had said, right, Silas is going to be back. So, like, Silas is getting another crack at this. He did mention that, you know, kind of going hand in hand with what we said when evaluating Rafael Stone's exit interview, is everybody got better this season. And not just on an individual basis, but the team did collectively get better after the All-Star break, right? The Rockets were worst defense in the NBA going into the All-Star break. They were 30th in defensive rating. They were 21st. They finished, you know, 21st. It might not have been, you know, right at 21st, but they were 21st when Steven Silas spoke during his media availability. And I think that says something, right? To jump up almost 10 spots in the final, you know, one-third-ish of the season is a pretty solid metric. And I think we did see some growth from this Rockets team defensively and them taking strides as a team as well as individuals on that end of the floor. And again, that speaks to there's progress being made, right? It didn't necessarily, you know, show itself in the wins and losses column, unfortunately. Maybe I shouldn't say unfortunately, but thankfully, because of the whole tankathon situation. So now the Rockets are guaranteed a top five pick. Thank goodness. That said, I do think that this team and the coaching staff deserve some credit for the growth that you did see out of this group of guys. And if that continues to trend upward, then maybe next season we could be talking about this Rockets team being somewhere, you know, middle of the pack defensively, right? If they were able to finish the year as, you know, the 21st best defensive team, what's to say they can't finish somewhere 15 to 20 or be somewhere 15 to 20 to start next season, right? And then suddenly if they're 15 to 20 to start next season and they're, flirting with, you know, a 10 to 15 offense or 10 to 20 offense, and that's a team that actually could be viable and actually make a little bit of noise and maybe be pushing for a play-in spot. So I will say that Steven Silas did drop the term organic in the midst of his final media availability session for the season. So that's all well and good and tons of fun. Shout out to Organic Learning. Maybe organic learning isn't as cooked as we all thought it once was. That said, I got a good chuckle out of Steven Silas saying the word organic. That was great. With that, I do love that Steven Silas had this kind of philosophy for this season, right? Of allowing his team's players, and he said this himself, right? To play, to learn, to grow, to fail, to get back up, to play, learn, grow, fail. Like, you know, that whole philosophy of just letting them go out there and kind of do things, right? And there's going to be some struggles in that, right? There's going to be some struggles when you give them that level of grace that he spoke about, right? When you give them a lot of leash to make those types of mistakes. And I think that was needed, right? Especially like in the, you know, with Kevin Porter Jr., you know, being a, you know, trying to establish himself as a point guard, learning a brand new position, you know, learning a whole entirely different way to try and understand and you know, approach the game compared to how he's played it his entire life, basically. that you need to allow for some wiggle room there. And I think that when you look at how Kevin Porter Jr. started the season to how he finished the season, you have to be incredibly optimistic about the steps that he's going to continue to take down this path of being the Rockets point guard moving forward, at least for the foreseeable future. So I think overall the mentality from Steven Silas, the approach that he took with his staff and with these players, objectively, it's worked, right? And we can get upset about the specifics, right? We can be mad about some of the rotations. We can be mad about, you know, who got minutes and who didn't get minutes, right? This is all very micro-level stuff. In the macro lens, from the 10,000-foot view, the season worked. Like, the season was a win. The Rockets finished with the worst record, which means they get a top-five pick, and everybody got better. That's all you want out of these guys. And maybe this final point could be me reaching a little bit here, possibly. But when asked and when prompted at the end about Eric Gordon, Silas said EG was an important part of our team. Maybe that was just, you know, just the choice of words. Maybe that's all it was. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. But the fact that they did separate all the veterans from all the young guys in the exit interviews and didn't include any of the veterans in the exit interviews, no Christian Wood, no Dennis Schroeder, no Eric Gordon, no David Nwaba, like all the vets, right, out. Pardon me. You know, I do wonder if EG's days are not necessarily numbered, but if they have, you know, more so concrete plans to move on from him, whatnot. Now, the way that Steven Silas talks about him, the praise that he gives him, the praise that all of the Rockets young guys give him, I wouldn't be upset to see Eric Gordon back next season. But at the same time, I think that these young guys have had, like, it was nice to have Eric Gordon this season, right? Like, EG was the perfect vet to have alongside KPJ and Jalen Green for the majority of this season. That said, those two guys have grown enough to where I think you're at the stage where you don't necessarily need to have that veteran presence to kind of corral the youngsters, right? Because now all these young guys, all these rooks are about to be sophomores. And you're about to, yeah, you're going to bring in a couple more rooks probably this, you know, this offseason. But they've grown and learned enough about the game that now it's maybe time where you just unleash all the young talent you have, right? Like, and you roll out a starting lineup without a single veteran presence in it, right? You go full bore youth movement, KPJ, Jalen, maybe KJ Martin, Al P at the five spot. You bring in one of Jabari or Paolo or Chet or whoever, and you just go, you know, straight up four sophomores and a rookie in the starting lineup, and you call it a day. Maybe you have a couple vets somewhere, you know, riding the bench. You know, maybe you bring back Dennis Schroeder as a guy to have on the Rockets bench. Maybe you keep Eric Gordon and you keep him on the Rockets bench. Maybe, you know, David Nwaba sticks around, right? Just have that kind of veteran presence in the locker room, even though he's more of a tweener as far as like veteran versus youth, whatever. He's, you know, shout out to Uncle Dave. But that said, you know, I do wonder what the makeup of this Rockets team is going to look like next season, because I felt like this season they leaned a little heavily on some of their vets with EG, with Daniel Tice, with David Nwaba early on, with Daniel House Jr., because they were kind of straddling the fence between, okay, do we just want to unleash all of these rookies who literally have no idea what NBA basketball is even like yet, or do we kind of build towards it slowly? And they built towards it slowly, and objectively, I think that did kind of work. But at the same time, now those guys have the experience, right? And they can now be held accountable. And I think that was a big point of what Steven Silas kind of hammered home there, was next season shouldn't be a rerun, right, of this previous season, of this current season, whatever, because he can now hold these guys accountable. He can say, look, we spent the entire last season hammering in these principles, right? We taught you this. You learned this last year. So I'm expecting quite a bit more accountability this next season out of Steven Silas, out of the coaching staff, and accountability for the players, right? When mistakes are being made, right? A bit of a shorter leash. If guys are, you know, if guys aren't, you know, trying on defense, if they're, you know, making mistakes, if they're not rotating properly, this thing, the other thing, I'm expecting Steven Silas to have a much shorter leash. And again, those expectations for the players directly extend to expectations for the coaching staff, right? I've kind of come away from these last two seasons with Steven Silas having minimal expectations other than just, I want to see the young guys get better. Like, that's been my expectation. Now, this next season, I'm expecting, all right, I still want to see the young guys get better, but I also want to see mistakes being fixed and addressed, right? It's not just, okay, go out there, make the same mistakes over and over, right? It's not going to be a rerun of this season where, oh, the Rockets are, you know, 12 turnovers and a half again, and turnovers shooting themselves in the foot, oh, missed free throws again, like all this. I want to see guys facing the repercussions for their actions, right? If you're coughing the ball up too much in the game, you're going to get benched for it. Right? If you're missing free throws, you're gonna get in the gym and shoot a thousand free throws until you can actually hit your free throws. Or you're going to start losing minutes until you can hit your free throws at a reliable clip. Things like that. You know, accountability type things. So, and I think above all else is, and this is my big question for Steven Silas, right? Because this is actually one area where I don't necessarily know if Silas and Stone are exactly on the same page. But Silas was asked about, you know, can next season be about wins and losses? And Rafael Stone's answer was essentially, it doesn't need to be about, or shouldn't be about wins and losses, because they're not a championship level team yet. And he said that, you know, unless you're a championship level team, you shouldn't be worried about wins and losses. You should be worried about growing and getting to that point that you're a championship level team. Where Steven Silas did say that next season could be about wins and losses, right? As a metric to kind of gauge how they're doing. So my question is, with that kind of dichotomy between Stone and Silas about the wins and losses for next season, is if next season doesn't appear to be a winning season, I'm not saying like if they start out with another like 15 game losing streak or something, but if next season looks to be another losing season, not necessarily worst record in the NBA, maybe some marginal improvement, right? But another truly like another developmental year, if they're still growing and showing improvement, does Steven Silas still keep his job all season, right? Because I've kind of been going into next season thinking, no, like next season has to be the season that Steven Silas has to start kind of pushing these guys along and showing like, hey, we're like pushing towards the play-in. Like, all right, next season is pushed towards the play-in. The following season is like, hey, we're play-in bound. The next season is like, hey, we made it to the play-in, but we didn't actually like win a game. So now we're in the play-in again, and we're going to like actually make it to the playoffs. And then like, that's kind of like the linear progression that I've had in mind. So with that being said, what does next, like, what is the, is there a breaking point for next season? It should be basically my question, right? Or is Steven Silas essentially safe in his job, in his, you know, spot as the Rockets head coach, as long as these young guys continue to show growth and development, even if it doesn't necessarily translate to wins? Because again, if we go for a third year in a row of losing, you know, it's hard to count the Harden year, right? Because that was the transitional year. So this year was really year one of the rebuild. So then in year two of the rebuild, would Rockets fans be okay with, would the organization be okay with essentially a rerun of this season or similar to this season where it's a bottom five record? I personally think that it needs to be, the Rockets need to not be a bottom five record next season. Like, that's kind of my bar. And that's not a high bar. That's just like, stop being the worst team in the NBA and be like, stop being team number 30 and be team number like 24 in the NBA, right? Because then at that point, if you're team number 24 and you're like in the 12, you know, in the 11th or 12th spot in one of your respective conferences, then you're probably vying for or trying to have, you know, kind of fought for a play-in spot, which is again, you know, as far as the linear progression, those, that's kind of what my expectations are for this team. Maybe those are completely off base, but at least that's kind of where I'm at. But there seems to be maybe not a disconnect, but just, you know, some differing opinions between Stone and Silas about what next season has to actually entail. And so I'm curious moving forward what that's actually going to look like. And that's my big question is next season for Steven Silas, you know, is it about wins and losses, or is it, you know, continue to be about development? So with that, that's going to conclude our exit interview series, my miscellaneous thoughts and takeaways from all the different Rockets interviews, from the players, from Steven Silas, from Rafael Stone, all of that. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the Locked on Rockets YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. How do you feel about Steven Silas? How do you feel about his closing comments on this season? How do you feel about him moving forward as the Rockets head coach? Let me know in the comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.